Welcome back to Soul Practice, where we're having raw conversations and real practices. I'm Phyllis Mathis.
And I'm Kathy Escobar. So it's December. Oh my gosh. Everyone's tired.
Yeah, and some of us are not exactly healthy either.
Phyllis is sick.
I apologize for my voice, but at least I have one now. I've been without it for most of the week, so happy about that.
Isn't that a weird thing for somebody that, like, you're a person that your voice is a huge part of your life as a therapist and
I know.
Person offering wisdom and holding space for people? So it's probably kind of weird, huh? To be
it
silent.
was really weird. I've never had full on laryngitis before, where nothing would come out. Like I'd be trying to talk and nothing would happen. So yeah, made it kind of impossible to see anybody this week. So yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. And you know, the truth is that these viruses, whatever it is right now, like literally everybody is sick.
They're just kicking our asses all around the town.
No. And you know what kind of points to this ecosystem thing, like us in the ecosystem, and when the ecosystem got disrupted in the way that it did in such a significant way with COVID. That, I mean, there's always bugs and everyone gets sick in the winter. That's not new, but it is weird. This tridemic that's going on right now and just viruses that last 3 weeks and kick everybody's tail in a totally new way, even when you have a flu shot.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. So in the middle of everyone being sick, everyone's also tired. And for a lot of people in this season, everyone's sad. I mean, honestly, I'm laughing, but it is like so apparent to me how much grief there is this time of year. And I've been, of course, thinking about it related to A Weary World, which came out in 2020. So that was 2 years ago. And that was a book that I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to write. And it's a sweet little book that's just really about reflections for a blue Christmas and how to kind of do our best to connect with the real stuff that's going on with people. But I remember in 2020, you know, of course, we were coming off the death of Jared and into that season, our first like real one where we weren't in complete shock, you know, we were in place. And I just remember it was the pandemic and like everybody was, you know, flattened out, but also kind of eager, like we need to do everything we can to make it through the holidays and this pandemic. And then last year, it was maybe there was a little hope because there was vaccinations and things. And then remember this at Thanksgiving, Omicron started to ruin everything.
Yeah.
And then by December, like people couldn't gather. Everyone was not, you know, it was just nutty again. And then here we are in 2022. And I can honestly say, I mean, feel like it's just as bad for people, or maybe even worse, because maybe we thought it might be different by now. And maybe there's just been more death and loss and pain and divorces and people dying and health deteriorating and parents dying and so many things like in our age group that just feel really present. And now the holiday, here we are in the holidays and people are suffering.
Yeah, it just feels kind of heavy, you know, on top of everything. And I do think that we all thought we were going to be better now. But reality just hasn't shown up that way. And people are sick.
Yeah.
On top of things, you know.
On top of it all. And so today we just thought we would kind of just dive into talking about that a little bit. You know, it's an interesting topic for me because I tended before Jared died to always really love the holidays. I mean, I wasn't like elf or anything. Jose. Jose is literally elf, you guys. You have to understand that.
Oh, I didn't know that. So he's
not as in the holidays, but as in he loves sugar. And so like he's the one that like puts maple, you know, remember an elf,
Oh,
maple syrup
yeah.
on the spaghetti and stuff, you know, Jose's like put some sugar on and then put on some more. And so anyway, and he dressed up as an elf yesterday at the Refuge Single Moms Crazy
Oh,
Party.
did
He does every year. But the truth is that he's not happy clappy in the holidays, but he does, you know, have a brightness that Jose carries into the world. And on the whole, you know, I saw a lot of people around me suffering in the holidays. And that was why this 2022 is our 10th year of Blue Christmas at the
Wow.
Refuge. And yeah, decade I looked.
Well, what's that like for you at the Refuge? Like, what do you guys do for Blue Christmas?
Well, we just hold space for how hard it is. And in my situation, I used to hold it for other people. And then now, 3 years ago, it's for me too, in a new way.
Yeah.
It's not that
Yeah.
I never connected there, but what we do is create a space where anybody can come, and it has no overtly spiritual things, trying to be as hypoallergenic as possible. And
Yeah.
we try not to have people having allergic reactions, and just a place to connect with honesty, honestly, about the holidays. And in our community, there are just so many folks who just have so much loss. And
Yeah.
what's fascinating, though, I can say this over and over, is that like now more people have joined the club, is what it feels like.
Oh, wow. A club nobody wants to belong to, right?
Yeah, and it's not just loss of humans, although there's just been so much loss. I feel like everybody in these past chunk of years has just lost somebody significant to them somehow. Family member, a friend, something. And actually, the founder of Blue Christmas at the Refuge, Jenny Herrick, died in 2022.
Yeah, that's right.
Know, at the beginning of 2022, suddenly, unexpected, you know, no preparation for it. And so it just looks like people having a space. And one of the highlights of Blue Christmas at the Refuge is the anger station. That's the one that I always do. It's like the
Oh,
easiest
yeah.
setup, because it's just a bunch of glass ornaments, and people just let it rip. And I have to say, and we know this from our Walking Wounded, we have this in our Walking Wounded class too, that we have a whole anger week, and we're like,
Yeah.
throw something, break something,
Break
move
something.
something through you. And there really is
Yeah.
something that's super powerful about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, what do you think? Why do you think that Christmas is particularly hard? I mean, people are carrying losses and feeling heavy and everything, all the time anyway. So, what is it about Christmas do you think that makes it extra hard for people?
I think it's probably the magnification of it. Because I can say this for me, it's like I miss Jared every day.
Yeah.
The holidays, really starting in Thanksgiving and going through, like those were a piece of the way it was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was the way it was. Our family was a certain way. We did our holidays a certain way. And so it's like it's touched. There's Thanksgiving break, Christmas break. This is just our story. And I feel like it's a lot of people's, because even people who don't normally see their family or have contact with them, it's like something about the holidays is a time where you remember what you had or don't have anymore, or long for or wish for. You know, I think about it with a lot of friends who don't have certain things that they long for in terms of partner, children, or some of those things. And it's like every day it's sort of hard, but then this time when everything is about those things.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the happiest time of the year. It sort of puts the spotlight on joy and happiness and togetherness and beauty and specialness and wonder and, you know, all the top 10 happy things, you know, kind of come together in Christmas. So it's like a reminder of how we would like for things to be. Kind of this sense of this is how things should be, you know, all happy and beautiful and joyous and together, right? So putting the spotlight on all those happy things, I think it just makes the dark things feel even harder, don't you think?
Well, and it's kind of like, as you say that, I mean, I'm reminded that that's like kind of a piece of the bad story that we've been taught. And so, it's sort of this shiny thing that we're kind of aspire to. And then the truth is, nobody, there's some people, I'm sure, but on the whole, nobody I know. That's really what it's like.
Yeah,
And
for
even
real.
before Jared, I mean, I live in hard places every day in my life. And so it was, the tarnish was always off that part, of the piece, of the way, the way that it's framed. And I wonder too, this year is everything's really expensive also.
Well, that's
You know,
true.
in a way, it's always expensive. All the parents feel pressure. Everybody feels pressure. And but this year has another twist to it. And it's almost like, and everybody in my circle kind of knows this. The treadmill of it all, everyone is off. Everyone wants to get off. But the whole world is working that way. And so how to kind of hold the reality of what we're really experiencing and, keep things simple and honor grief and all those things. It's really, really hard to do, but it is possible. And I think that that's one thing I love about now, and I have to say this, is it feels like more people are being honest about it instead of like suffering in silence. There are more spaces to say the truth, I think, about just like at least the bah humbug or whatever. Like you don't have to play along as much as before. I think more people are saying, yeah, I'm dreading it, or I'm trying and it's really hard for me. My mental health is not great right now, whatever it is. And but I'm not positive. That could just be in my circle that it's super honest, and so I'm used to it. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that I have similar connections with people that you do, Kathy, and in that the people that I talk to during the week are pretty honest about their lives and stuff. So I do hear both sides of it. But I'm just wondering what you when you hold spaces for people, like didn't you do an online Blue Christmas thing recently? What are some of the I don't know, takeaways or some of the suggestions or some of the things that help you found that help people just get through?
Yeah, that was a really interesting gathering because I'd wanted to experiment with it. It's just popping up a real time gathering instead of the in person at the refuge because that's limiting. You have to be in Denver and you have to be able to come at a certain date and time and everything. So I tried this year to see what it would be like to just hold some space on Zoom. It was called When Christmas is Blue. I can't remember. It was like a virtual contemplative gathering for people struggling with the season. And what was like most things, there's a mix of it's not wasn't super big, but it had a solid showing of people from the United States and Canada, kind of across ages and experience. And for me, the thing I was so struck with was having we walked through. So let me pause for a second. We walked through the four major movements in A Weary World, which are honoring reality, practicing honesty, embracing paradox, and borrowing hope. Those are kind of the four major themes. And we didn't do it in like an intensive way, but it was like that was the framework. And so the first one was just like honoring reality. And so the prompt was really simple. It was just, you know, this season really stirs this up for me. And this is kind of what I'm, this is my reality right now. And oh my gosh, I mean, everybody had something. And I was just really struck by that, whether it be a loss of a human, hard things with kids, family, my health, my family members' health, my job, my faith, you know, whatever it was, they were just all so hard. And practicing honesty, like just being able to say it and to notice the five major areas where anger and shame and fear and disorientation and sadness. And so just like being, so I noticed that just being able to name those things and then be honest about it. But the part that was, I think, the most helpful to in practice was Angie Fadel. Our friend Angie came on, and she does a whole holiday survival guide, and it's really good. I mean, she's really honest about her story of trying to survive in her family and make it through. And on her podcast, it's really good stuff. And so her big thing is mantras for the rest of us, you know, making mantras. And so she gave space for us to make one that we could that could sustain us during the year, that's the season. And people were really thoughtful. And honestly, it was helpful to me. We do it at Blue Christmas, so I'm used to that. Our friend Mike Herzog always does every single year, he does the same one, kind of like anger. And the other one is mantras and meditations. And then this idea that just like creating a practice that we can hold on to anchor us and ground us. And so I think I was really struck by that we need them, and that it helps like kind of claim whether it's, you know, I'm enough. I am not who they say I am. I'm anchored in peace, whatever, you know, mine was this in that thing was just, this is my story. This is my story. Like I just needed that. It's not somebody else's story. This is my story. And I think getting something that then we can just keep coming back to in that mindfulness way, like keep coming back to. And then honestly, I mean, the other part is just keep making it till January 1st. Just do whatever works to make it there.
Whatever works. I like that.
It doesn't harm ourselves or others, at least too much.
So, I know you're a big one for paradox, but like, do you find that being honest about the really hard things helps you enjoy the good things better, or do you just kind of quit trying to pretend and just let it be what it is? Do you know what I'm saying? People are always saying that you can't really experience joy unless you really let yourself experience the sorrow in your life. And I'm not sure how I feel about
I don't
that.
know. I don't know if I
I
agree with that. I think
don't
that helps us make
know.
sense of it. But I think I could experience more joy at the same amount of joy in my life as before, without my kid dying, honestly. So I feel pretty clear on that.
So that's pretty much shit, I guess,
I
is
think it might be shit.
what
I think it might be shit. And so, yeah, as I hear you say, I for sure think it's shit. And but I think embracing paradox really does help. And I think we do. I mean, I want to always be careful because people can't muster certain things up. And so I think that that's part of like everything we talk about here is not trying to force things and not trying to make things. But we also know that scientifically, right? You know more of this than I do, but gratitude actually does do things in your brain. And I know in recovery, because I go to 12-step meetings for codependency, like gratitude is a big part of the story because it just helps us turn something. And so, you know, I don't ever want to force gratitude, but I think that's the paradox, like looking for something good, you know, noticing, sorry, Jose's sneezing in the background. The noticing something good, noticing letting ourselves feel loved. And I think that that's a piece of like we're so protected, especially right now. And I feel this for sure, especially around some friends that have a lot of trauma. It's like I'm just hunkering down, you know, I got my defenses up and I'm just gonna make it. And you know, I always go to if that's what works, good. I think opening to some tenderness can help so that, you know, we get to get a little bit of it all, whatever the all is.
Yeah, I think that part of the problem with the expectations around Christmas is that it can make us so sort of brittle and tense because we got to make things a certain way. We need to make sure people feel a certain things and create experiences that really reflect our expectations about what hope and wonder and the holidays are all supposed to be about. And so I think there's some relief in just being able to relax into what is instead of what we think should be. You know, that's kind of a real basic guide to end suffering right there. You know what I mean? When we're so clinging to what we believe should be. And I'm not necessarily arguing with how things should be. I mean, maybe things should be really happy and joyful and full of beauty and wonder. I still love that idea, but the fact is that humans are really made are not really very few people actually live in that condition all the time. And so letting go of the expectation and the demand really for happy, happy, joy, joy all the time for 6 weeks or whatever, you know, till the 1st of January. It's a lot of pressure, and it's a lot of pretending and sort of a brittle, like clinging to these symbols of happiness that if we just let go a little bit and relax into it's a day. Today is a day. And there are great things and there are not so great things in every single day. And so allowing yourself to let go of the things that you think should be and instead open your eyes to what is right in front of you. It's always good. A good way to move through life. It just gets with all the expectations, it just gets really whacked around the holidays, I think.
Yeah, and it makes me think, I mean, as you're sharing, all of it really is the same. It's just, could we just be a little more human? And own it and honor it and in all of our good and beautiful and light and tender, you know, all these other things, and in all the hard and mess and the grief and the struggle and the wrestle, you know, could we just like honor it all? And I think that that's what's so hard in general is that we're just not that good at it. And we're really not. I mean, this paradox thing, you know, I talk about it all the time. We talk about it all the time, but the truth is, practicing it is pretty tricky. It's pretty tricky and it can be kind of tiring. And I think that it's almost like our souls, they ultimately know how to do it, but we were taught somehow that it was supposed to be a different way. And so it's stripping away kind of teaching and expectations and false theologies and, you know, false promises that have nothing to do with God or faith. You know, it's kind of like this weird way the world works. And then I think our souls always, clearly, because humans have lasted this long, know how to do it. Because people keep on going despite really horrific things. And then, you know, I just want to address this for 1 second. You made me think about when you were talking is that I know a lot of people who have had a lot of pain and trauma in their life and really hard things, and then are finding love and are finding joy and finding happiness. And I think sometimes feel bad about it. And so, like, this is an interesting twist. And with this came up the refuge years ago, and it still comes up, like, am I allowed to be happy? Am I allowed to feel good? Like, do I have to be in the shitter all the time? And so, the truth is, and we say, we all have to just be who we are. And yes, but it is interesting, especially when we're used to not having good things. When good things come along, I think it's really hard to receive it. That's a whole other conversation, but
Yeah, it is a whole other conversation, but I think it's apropos in this season.
yeah, there's a lot in there. The other thing I just wanted to highlight is something that happened this week that was really maybe a practice for people listening. This was at our cafe team training, and I just did a little thing about a gift. And this was a long time ago at the Refuge. We did this thing where people opened a gift and told a story. And it was like just remembering something. Were you guys there? I don't know. I can
No.
picture like you being there. This is so
Okay.
long ago. Are you saying, or I actually think someone from your family was there and
Okay.
told a story, because I'm almost positive, because it was about you guys doing Christmas carols. Like, you guys do Christmas, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We still do.
Yeah. So there was something about that gift of that tradition.
Okay.
And so the prompt was just, I don't know why it came to me in the moment, this memory of kind of those things that in the middle of the hard, that kind of are like, this is like a really special gift.
Yeah.
And it was really, my point on it is that I loved hearing what people shared about traditions that are bring joy and life, even in really hard families and really hard situations and no money and certain things. Like, there were these little tendernesses that really help. And then the gift being stories.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah, the stories of just this wild little thing that happened. And, Mark Yacinelli, who was on, I think, the episode before this, that's just the magic of these memories. And that even in the shit, everybody's got something that has a sweetness to it. And I think that that kind of helps us.
I think it does too, and I think it really reflects well, I don't know. I hate to kind of go. The message of Christmas is, but you know, we think about that all the time, or I used to. What is the message of Christmas? But it sounds like it, well, I've come to believe that it's just what you said. Like in the dark place, there are these little moments of light and life and tenderness and beauty in the midst of everything, you know, and that's pretty much what it means to be human. No matter what. And that's kind of good enough.
Yeah, it is good enough. And we're in good company, with a lot of other humans trying to make it. And the kind of, as we begin to transition, I forgot this, and our friends remind us. And so this is at Thanksgiving, that on Thanksgiving Day, it's actually the National Day of Mourning, related to Indigenous things. I'm almost positive. Okay, and that most of us don't practice it that day. I mean, that's the truth. So what am I doing? Making my Thanksgiving feast and having everybody over and all those things. And I am not seeing that those things are not something that I always want to do that. But I love this movement to help us better frame something. I wish maybe they were right next to each other, and so we could kind of do both within a couple of days. But the reason why I'm thinking of it in this moment is that I almost think that, You need like the regular holiday that everyone has to do, and then some other thing that just help right next to it that just helps. I don't know, grief day or something or just like honors it. And that we could practice, like we could build that practice into everything a little bit better. And I was thinking about this on Mother's Day because I realized this last year. So my point is, we can do anything we want. Okay. And yeah. And so, but I'm kind of talking on a bigger scale. But on Mother's Day, I mean, my dilemma is I have four living children who love me, who like think I'm a great mom. And, and so I decided, and then is it to make the day before Mother's Day my day that I can let myself feel the magnitude of losing my kid. And so the day before Mother's Day, I can just do a grief fest. And I actually have to do a little party that morning for single moms every year, but then I can just be sad the rest of the day. And then on Sunday, when I have these other four kids that send me texts and love me and give me presents and all those things, I can lean into it. And so I'm going to try it this year and see what it feels like, because I notice that I don't have the capacity to do it all. Like, it's too much in the moment, and then I just am too sad. Basically, I'm just too sad, and then I can't see anything positive. So I think I'm advocating, could we have like one day just to be on the floor, and the next day to maybe go see a movie and have fun? It could be super
So
simple.
a little purge before and
Yeah,
sounds good.
exactly. It's a little off topic, but I think it fits. And the fifth
No,
is,
I think it's a good idea sometimes for Christmas too, is to just give yourself to the shittiness of it, someday, and then one for one whole day, and then the next day or on Christmas or however you want to do it, let yourself just enjoy the good stuff that's actually there.
yeah, love it. Well, as we wrap up, last thought for the soul. As we make it through these last couple weeks, this episode's going to come out just like a couple weeks before Christmas.
Well, I think it's always good to remember that the soul really does encompass the whole spectrum, and we want to either or things, either goodness or sadness, either good or bad, but really your soul is always moving to help you expand into being able to hold the whole spectrum of what reality is, and to be in it with a steady heart.
Love it. And I, honestly, I just think a practice in here is just to do one little thing you really love. Not that someone else loves, not that someone else thinks you should do, just like something that you really love, if you can. And it's tricky, but in the smallest way, whatever it is, to just find something that goes, oh my gosh, I just am so happy to get to do this for just this little teeny bit of time, like to carve it out and try to find it, and maybe really give yourself some room to think about it. And I'm actually going to do this, is for these next couple weeks. I'm like, what do I want to do? That's not throwing a party and planning 10,000 things and worrying about budgets. Like, what is something to take care of myself that I can build in to this time, that I know that I'm making space for myself to and my soul to drop in a little bit and feel
Yeah,
a little
sounds good.
refreshed. Okay, so hang in there, everybody. We love you.
We love
We're with
you.
you and all the humaning.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see you next week.